And then later on in our conversation, we'll open it up to kind of your own thoughts as well. So what did you hear?
One of the things I heard was, given sort of the breadth of what we're trying to cover, this, the level of duration of commitment and engagement of commitment is going to be longer for these things to get sort of a level of development where they're actually functional and really in serving people.
So. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. I really do see, because I think this is a priority, I think this is kind of a model that we want to live with for a long time. I do see us meeting long term. And so what I would see is every 6 months, we would have a time where we kind of open it up for folks to switch if they would want to. So for example, Pastor Rena's group, which is focusing on Stand in the Gap. In a way, that's the way they want to do justice, and they're forming their rule of life around that. And so they're taking action, and then they're reflecting on how that's going, they're receiving the word, and they're doing that. This is kind of starting out as a discover group, but there's no reason this shouldn't kind of continue indefinitely. But what I would want to do then is every 6 months, sort of ask Rena, ask the folks in the group, and say, do we discern that we should continue? And maybe there's a time for that group to like say, okay, that was good. We're going to kind of close that off. But what I don't want to do is just automatically assume we're going to cut that off. Because for some groups, like, man, it's going to really keep going. And I think it's really okay to try a group and to say, like, that had some successes. That had some, people at CYO always say this, flat sides. Like, people always say that, right? And, you know, maybe we're just going to put that away for now. We're going to take a break. I think that's really okay. And then I think it's also okay for individuals to say, like, you know, I really needed to be in a manuscript study for that season. That was really good. You know, but now when that 6 month mark comes, like, I feel like God is calling me to be in an activist kind of thing. You know, I need to focus on my vocation now. I need to move into that. So I think what we're going to experience is both some stability and some longitudinal growth, as well as some ability to be flexible and to try new things. That's the hope.
So we had some conversation around a little bit. I think what I heard was having a little trouble thinking about how, like, small groups in the past not necessarily being the main mechanism for discipleship,
right?
That happening in other areas. So kind of wondering what that actually looks like in a small group. And then in particular on the evangelism and justice areas, one of the examples that was brought up was, like, a lot of times doing that type of work, really engaging, requires more than like once a week, and it's like a more all-in thing.
Right.
And that's where a lot of like growth and discipleship and happens. And so, wondering, you know, I guess the question or kind of contemplation in our group was a little bit around, you know, how do you get some of those actions out, given if it is a weekly pace, like,
right?
It's a tough balance to see progress as while also kind of maintaining ongoing sanity. And I think it's just, in general, one of the big themes of our group was, like, doing things together, having a mission orientation.
Right.
Has spurred a lot of growth for all of us.
Right.
The question is, how do we systematize that in,
right,
in these small groups when there isn't necessarily, like, a burning platform each time?
When there isn't what?
Like, a burning platform, like, immediately, all the time.
Right. So. Right. Yeah, those are a lot of good questions. And not to be comprehensive, but at least one thing to say is to say that, if it's kind of it really is a missionally focused group in certain ways, we're going to have to account for the fact that it's a task that's way bigger than this whole group, right? We're not going to sort of end global warming or, like, you know, make the criminal justice system, you know, there's sort of an infinite amount that we can do, right? So the first thing is that accept our limitations no matter what. But I think second of all, to kind of recognize the fact that we have different levels, we have different bandwidths in our group. Right, so say there's an ending global warming group, and we're gonna do, like, raise awareness in the schools, and we're gonna, like, lobby Washington and all these things. Like, some people don't have to work for money, and they have a lot of time, and they're able to pour a bunch of time into that. And other people are, like, working full time, and they have 2 kids under 3. Right, so the question is, how can we together be part of this mission, but have different levels of time and intensity to pour in. So I think this is where all of our giftings are going to have to kind of come together. So even in the missional part, maybe we are going to have somebody who's like, I'm the point person on this. And, you know, I know that Alex, like, he's new to the Bay Area. Like, he says he can give, like, 10 minutes a week to this, like, outside of group time. So, all right, Alex, this is your 10 minutes, right? And then I'm coordinating it. So I think there will be a way in which, and I'll mention more about this tonight, because I think the last kind of major plank in my sort of platform here is that these groups need to be a place where we can all be taking the next step. And that next step is different for all of us, and we're all in different seasons. So what can that look like? And so I do think that for some groups, there'll be a lot of pouring energy into some big cause. And so I would say these groups aren't just limited to the once a week meeting necessarily. Maybe they are. Maybe they would need to be if that's where people's bandwidth are. But maybe that's a kind of a platform and a launching pad for other stuff as well. And then alongside of that, I would also say that it's very appropriate, for example, for Rena's group to invite others of us in the church into the Standing in the Gap initiative. Like, maybe that's not all of our thing, right? Maybe we're like, well, you know, I don't have kids in the school. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not really that into it. It's not my gifting. It's not my calling. And that's fine, actually. We validate that. But it is this group's thing. And it's okay for sometimes, you know, this Rena's group, Pastor Rena's group, to come in and say, hey, could you help us out in this particular event? Like, we're doing a LeConte Science Night. Let's all gather around that. And it's okay to invite us in for these kind of one-off events. But I think it's great that we have communities for whom it's their thing, and the energy is really coming from them. And it's not a disconnected program, but it's a spiritually integrated community, which I think is an important part of, like, avoiding the kind of burnout. And that's part of my concern, is separating these activist programs from prayer and all these other things. And you just sort of depend on people to hopefully have this menu that works for them. Whereas I think if we curate a group in which it's integrated there, I think that, I'm hoping that creates space for more health for people. So sorry, that was a lot, but those are great questions, and I'm not sure we have complete answers. But what I am hoping is that throughout this whole thing, we have a sort of entrepreneurial spirit, and we kind of figure it out as we go. What else?
Just a quick comment that I think it's maybe just a facet of what you're talking about right there. But we had one person who looked at the schedule and said, none of these times work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when we were, it was easier before to say, well, then I guess Discover groups aren't my way of engaging with the church in this season. But the more they become central to what we want to do, the more we're going to have to be creative about, well, what does work?
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah, sorry, I didn't echo. Ryan was just saying that for somebody in her group, they were saying, hey, none of these times work for me. And he's saying that maybe in the past, that's okay, because that wasn't so central to the life of our church. But if this is quite central, if everybody sort of is in a group like this, we need to figure out a way for that to work for folks.
I'm wondering how a church that's trying to be pretty aggressive, and maybe not aggressive, but assertive and putting ourselves out there, and challenge one another toward that, how we avoid, like, a pitfall of judgment and, like, so I'm hearing you say, oh, but everyone's in a different place. We all have limitations. Mm-hmm. But what is it really, what is that, how does that rubber meet the road? Like, we really do have grace for people who could do nothing.
Right.
So, and I mean, they're just trying to get healed or whatever.
Right.
And then, but you still want to challenge those people too. So, I mean, how have you seen that work out, or what does that look like?
Yeah. Well, again, I think I'll talk about that tonight, because I do think grace creates momentum. Grace does create next steps. And those might be small, and we might not see those results immediately. But I think God's love is so great for people that healing happens, and healing does move forward. So, but, you know, frankly, a big concern I have is that, you know, in small groups, small groups can be hard too. It's not. I don't think any of this is a panacea. The small groups are only as good as us really learning to use our gifts together. Small groups can be places of judgment and unwanted advice giving and long diatribes and soliloquies and tangents and randomness and pointlessness. Like, that can happen. I'm really aware of that. And as a leader, that's why, like, the sermon is so nice, because I can control it. I can get people in a room, I can know what I'm going to say, and I can make them say it. But if I do something even like this, it's a tremendous risk. Like, what if somebody says something weird right now? Like, you didn't. Thank you. That was a great comment. That was really good. But it's just this tremendous risk. And I actually kind of like it. I like the risk. It's like spiritual cliff jumping. Like, what will happen? But I do think, even as a community, I think there is a place to really learn how we be in a group together. I mean, it's hard. Like, I even feel like just social skills, just having a conversation where we really listen to each other, that can be a challenge, right? We've all been in conversations with the other person just like talks the whole time. And then when you get in a group of 8 people, that's magnified even more. And then when you get into like the deep things of each other's lives and saying like, and really discerning like, oh, this person hasn't moved for a while. Like, is the call for them now to just receive God's mercy and just be in that place and be healed and be patient? Or is this a time to, like the scripture says, to admonish one another? When do we call each other out? And I think that's growing in discernment together. I mean, there is a right answer, but there's not a sort of theoretical answer to when that happens. And so I do think these groups and Paul's model itself is messy, and it demands how we grow together, and it probably will demand us asking forgiveness, and it probably will ask us saying, you know, I spoke out of turn, or it probably will demand us saying, like, sorry, I should have said something and I didn't. But I think we need that same mercy, I think, Susie, that you're talking about for people. I hope we all have that same mercy on each other, right? Because we're not going to be perfect, but we are who God has given us. God has given us each other. And God has given us the Spirit through each other. Is that going to be perfect? Like, you know, and I think we all see this as a church with, like, our words of knowledge say. It's like, I have a picture of a kneecap floating on top of a hill. Is that from God? I don't know, but I'm going to put it out there. You know, and we have that sense of, like, I'm trying. Does this connect with you or not? And so hopefully there'll be that same spirit of, like, accepting each other, trying to admonish one another. Do you want to follow up on that, Susie, or is there any?
No, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Absolutely agreed. And so that's where I do also think, and that's where I believe we need a lot of, like leadership support. This is not a sort of like, everybody does their own thing. No, we need to learn to do this together. It takes a lot to everybody bring in their gifts. It can be a little bit like Isaiah is in orchestra right now. Can you imagine a 7th grade orchestra? How chaotic that could be. You need a good conductor in a 7th grade orchestra, or it's going to sound terrible. And so, you know, I think this is like this church is sort of an advanced, like, college orchestra. So I have an easy job, but yeah. Yep. Right. 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 And that's the exact plan. That's the exact plan. I was talking about how in my group so many times, and I say this as a seminary professor, like, pastors pour all their time into the sermon. And is that because they really believe that's how spiritual transformation happens? Maybe, but also it's because that's the most visible thing a pastor does. Like, you have 100 people judging you, like, how am I doing? And so it's easy, just as a prideful human being, to be like, I'm going to pour my life into the things that I'm going to get strokes for. But what I'm saying is, as a church, I think as a leadership team, we want to be pouring our life into kind of coaching us so that these groups are places of life for all of us and for people who aren't yet in this room as well. Because it's hard to come by, a really safe spiritual space. It's hard to come by. But I also think, imagine the example of AA. Like, Alcoholics Anonymous has created a safe spiritual place for people who are at a particular place in their life. And there's a clear formula, but these aren't professionals doing this. But that's a safe space. People know how it works, and that they're able to help people take that next step. And there's a clear way of responding when you fall off the wagon. Right? And so I guess I'm hoping, and it's sad that for us as the church, like for me, I often look at AA like, hey, that's a safe place. Like there's like Sexaholics Anonymous, and there's substance abuse. And here they've created this safe space where people aren't judged, but they can also grow. And I'm like, no, I think that's what Paul was thinking of in the first place. And so why can't we also do that? Tim?
So for me, I love Sunday celebration because it brings the body together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big fan of how we're reapproaching or this new approach to mm-hmm. Discover groups. My fear is, how do we do this and not have these groups work in silos? How mm-hmm. do we make sure that each of these groups are kind of feeding one another and that we are coming together some way as a group and we don't fall back into going back to the history of CWOW. There are great things going on and nobody knows about it except those people who are doing it.
Right. Thank you so much for that question. Because I feel like that's I'm not planning on sort of changing celebration or devaluing it, but one thing that I really think this model will impact celebration is if we give space for these particular groups with their unique giftings to really be present at the church and to really be present. So I just think there's so much more we could do with like times of testimony. And to be honest, like even like in my sermons, I already have these great plans of how I'm gonna like co-lead a sermon with a small group that's doing stuff. And I'm gonna invite up different members and I'm gonna sort of interview them in the middle of the sermon. And like in other churches, I've done this where we'll have a small group that's very distinctive, like lead worship at some point. Like I remember at New Hope, for example, my favorite story, I might have told this, sorry if I have, but I love it. Like we would have different small groups in our church, which really represented the diversity of the body. And so, you know, there was one sort of Cambodian American young people's group. And they were kind of doing their own thing. And I think there were some of the older people at New Hope that thought like, oh, isn't that nice? They're like Cambodian and they're very like, you know, whatever. They thought they were a certain way. And so the week that it was their turn to lead worship in the celebration, it was this kind of like 17-year-old. She came up and she played a Mariah Carey song and said like, this is a reflection of God's love for us. And it was really great, but it totally wasn't what she expected. She expected some sort of Cambodian dance or something, right? She got Mariah Carey. So I think that's just a kind of a whimsical example of how the distinctiveness in each group can be brought together in the common setting. And we hear that and we validate that and we appreciate that and we grow because of that. And so I see celebration as a platform for our diversity. Because you're right, that is the danger of now everybody's doing their own thing, they do it just the way they like, why do I need you? And that's the body saying, the nose saying, I don't need the ear. So that's why I continue to think celebration is super important. We need that because otherwise we're no longer a unified body. So thank you, Tim.
Mm-hmm. I'm new to CWOW, but I'm very excited about your discovery group and you give it a lot of thought and planning on this.
Yeah.
And since you already introduced your group, and I'm wondering if we can ask the other group leaders to introduce their own discovery group at a higher level.
Yeah. We're going to do that tonight in the service. So. Pardon? Oh, yeah, Anthony was just asking if we could hear more from the Discover groups, from the leaders themselves about their groups. And we, staff, am I correct? We have that planned for tonight? That's the idea? Check? Yes. We're going to be doing that. So I would prefer it. So thank you. We need to do that. I want to do that tonight when maybe there's more folks around. And we're also going to have a couple of weeks to decide. So we'll have a couple Sundays to really hear from folks. So that's a great idea. And we're going to do exactly that. We're glad you're here.
So this isn't actually going for what we were talking about, but it kind of had to do with the discipleship groups and what Ryan was saying. You know, I looked at the entire list and I was like, I can't make any of these times. And I know these are the more formal groups, but what if we had kind of informal working groups of maybe just two or three people or, you know, two pairs of partnerships kind of going and working on little things? Would that be a possibility?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm just hearing this for the first time, but I'm really open to, like, creating spaces which work for everybody. So let's keep talking about that. And I think that's exactly what I'd want, Dar, is, like, to come back and say, like, hey, this doesn't work. How about that? And I want to have these conversations. And remember, like, half of my time is kind of be pouring into, like, making this work for as many of us as possible. So that's definitely the spirit, I think, that we're working with. And so let's talk. And we're meeting anyway, so we'll talk, yeah. So we have time for, I think, one more, like Dan. And then...
So I know that the learning labs were meant to kind of support different ideas.
Yeah.
Is that going to continue? Is that going to be changed at all?
Yeah. I think that the learning labs is a lot of the spirit of what we're talking about this, where we're called to try new things, new initiatives in justice and evangelism. I guess my concern is I'm wanting to go away from a church that has sort of standalone activist programs over here, and then standalone, like, spiritual inward programs over here, and I'm looking for some way that we can integrate that more for this purposes. So I guess I haven't talked or thought about learning labs and haven't heard a lot about it, but what I'm imagining is that really fits in here. So I'll have to, as the new guy on the block, I'll have to talk with, yeah, what about learning labs? Great question. So, yeah. Last call for, no, not alcohol. Last call for thoughts. Okay, well, let me again pray for us. I really do think that a lot of this is, we're going to see how it is. And so, God, I just want to pray right now that you would fill us as a community with hope. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I pray that we would keep bringing up that what about this and what about that, Lord? And Lord, because we want to do this right. Lord, we want to be led by you and we want to do this as a community. But Lord, I pray that underlying it all would be a spirit of hope. Lord, of hope of you having new things and good things for us together. And that you really have given gifts to each one of us. And Lord, we need each other's dishes, Lord. God, we dare not disdain the dish that somebody else has brought to the potluck, Lord. Lord, we say that everyone is important. And Lord, we pray that you would just lead us in such a way that, Lord, your body really is built up in this place. And Lord, not just for ourselves, but Lord, for Berkeley, Lord, for the East Bay, for the world that you love, Lord, that's what we desire. And so we pray, Lord, I just thank you for selecting these particular people to be here this morning and pray that you would use them as a sort of avant-garde in what you're doing here in this community, in this body, Lord, in this family, Lord, in this group of coworkers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last word is that I still hope that you're feeling a little bit unsatisfied because there's a big thing that I brought out, which is sort of the spirit of grace that's behind all of this that we really need if this is going to work. This is not about a program or a strategy. This is about how can we be a means of grace to each other. So that's what we're going to talk about in the service tonight. And it's also in celebration tonight. And it's also meant to be really accessible for folks who haven't come to the retreat. So if there's folks who haven't been here, it's not like they won't understand what we're talking about. So Tim, if you would come and close our time together, that would be great. Thanks.